at the Rising Billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Witch.
Hi, it's Christopher Cummy with Think Bold, Be Bold, and of course, my awesome co-host, Alan Witch, is in the house.
I'm in the house. Hey, Christopher, my awesomeness co-host. It's
awesomeness.
Awesomeness. You like that? It's a new word.
I love awesomeness. I use awesomeness all the time.
Do you? So here, yeah. I thought I created something that you've been using. Okay, well, that's cool. Well, I can handle that. How's it going in your neck of the woods?
My neck of the woods is amazing, and I have a lot of fun. The tourists are gone, so I have my beach back, Alan.
Nice. Boy, it's nice here too. But speaking of beaches, our guest today from Sydney, Australia.
I know.
And, I don't think he can probably see the beach right now because it's 1 a.m. his time.
Another Aussie in the house. I love
Aussie
it.
Aussie in the house. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Our third or fourth Aussie that's been on the show, but excited to have him with us.
For sure. And he's got something really cool he has been working on, boiling up, and definitely launching, what's called the world. Get this, Alan. The World's Productivity Network. Now that sounds totally cool.
The first one. You and I talk a lot about exponential growth and demonstration and so forth. And I think this is going to be one of those new products and services that is going to do some revolutionizing and actually launch some big changes in the communication and connectivity arenas. And I'm just, I'll speak for both of us. I'm excited to have Paul in the house today. But before we introduce him, I want to tell you a little bit about him.
Yeah, let's do
and,
it.
And I love this. He's a growth junkie. And I love the fact that that he categorizes himself that way. I mean, he's got a bachelor's of engineer's degree from Hans and computer science. And he's been in iTech, the hardware and software service design for, some 15 years. And then he kind of moved into, sales and marketing. And, that's where he kind of found a niche. And then he got into, the startup concept in tech. And I find that really, really intriguing. He kind of stemmed from a long career at Dell, where he was a technical sales rep. Before he moved into what now I think might be his genius zone, which is brand and marketing. But prior to that, he found a growth agency. Here we go with the growth again, and I want to really kind of talk to him about what that means. But Greenfield Avenue, where he was a pioneer of a new way to think about outsourced sales and marketing services. And his first, dipping his toe into the startup arenas was with a technology startup called Smart Sparrow. And quite intrinsically, he was the VP of sales and marketing during a $10 million Series B capital fundraise and a $5 million grant win that he got with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So That's something cool. Not everybody gets the Gates Foundation support. So I think that's fantastic. But he's had a real long career pursuit, if you will, for trying to find the perfect productivity solution. And that's what I know what intrigues you and I a lot. And I'm sure glad he's on the show today to kind of
use it.
His technology. Paul is the co-founder and the chief marketing officer for a new company coming on board called Scribble Post. And he's working with the founder, Elon Novi, and I hope I've pronounced his name right. And Elon, if I have not, I'm sure that Paul will correct me quickly here as we move into exactly what this technology is. But what it does is it helps, inbox overload and, the overwhelming, underwhelming performance of existing productivity tools. And I'm just excited to have Paul Berkovic in the house today. So Paul Berkovic, welcome to the podcast show.
Hey, thanks guys. I'm very excited to be here. Great to talk to you.
Well, we are
Paul is in the house coming to us from Oz, Australia. And we have some great friends down in Australia. So as talking about earlier, with Paul, we'll definitely get to introduce him to our family on Think Bold, Be Bold. Big shout out for our audience. Love you guys. And, we love that you give us, the feedback and helping us just climb the ranks. We were just talking about that earlier. And, because we're out here interviewing amazing people and can't wait to jump into it with Paul, we were able to just rise through the noise, to tell you the truth, because we're bringing information that is raw and real, and we truly believe that every show has golden nuggets, and that's why we say get out your journal, make sure you got your pen ready or your pencil, as Alan often uses, because he's comes from the architectural world. But anything you can write down, even if it's on your mirror with a dry erase, these are the golden nuggets that come out of this on where people have come through, specifically our guests, that journey to get where you are. And obviously a bio can't say and tell everything, Paul. So why don't you fill in some of those gaps and bring us up to speed on your journey to Scribble Post and how amazing, and we'll get into obviously what Scribble Post is all about. So Paul, it's over to you.
All right. Great. Well, firstly, thanks very much for the introduction. It was really good background. So yeah, look, my background actually is technical. I studied engineering at university, which is, I guess, a while ago now, but it's kind of part of my DNA. So I always do mention that. After that, I went into the world of the business world, getting some experience at Dell, as you mentioned, and kind of quickly moved into away from the core technology or technical area, but more into technical selling and technical marketing. The problem with working in big business, I found, is that it kind of trains you for the politics of that business. I found that, if you want to be successful at Dell or at a big business, really what you need to do is be an expert in the politics of that company. And that just wasn't the direction that I really wanted to be going with my career. I've always had a much more entrepreneurial streak than that. So I was looking around me and trying to figure out like how I can get from where I am to actually, kind of getting into my own business and doing something more entrepreneurial. So, I moved into marketing. Then I had the opportunity to move into kind of smaller and smaller businesses. So I went from working for this giant conglomerate, this giant business in Dell, which is global. It was like a $60 billion company at the time. I went to work for a smaller, slightly smaller company, eventually worked for a local Australian company. And then to the point that I eventually went out on my own and started my own growth agency, as you said, which is called Greenfield Avenue. And I think that's where I really started to cut my teeth as an entrepreneur.
Amazing. And not unlike a lot of people that we've interviewed, including myself, starting in a corporation world. I commend that world because, there's a lot of organization and there's a lot of things as an entrepreneur you find out later that you had taken care of when you're in a big company, like paying the bills.
Let me jump in and say, when I was at Dell, I couldn't think of anything more that I wanted to do than be my own boss and run my own company. I figured I was working so hard, I may as well work for myself that hard. Right. And of course, many years later, I look back and I kind of have gained an enormous respect for those people that actually do work for those businesses, because there is definitely something to be said for a predictable, steady kind of income and you know, job security if you can achieve that at a big business. So although I wouldn't change anything in terms of my entrepreneurial journey, but I certainly can understand the desire to work for those larger established organizations now.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of, on that note, companies giving that autonomy to their employees because they're recognizing that that entrepreneurism inside of, or what you might call intrapreneur inside mm-hmm. of corporations, is really where they're getting a lot more new ideas. And yep. then, you know, with the clout of a big company, obviously they can implement them quite quickly. And, you know, they can fail fast if they don't work out. But most importantly, a lot of the new ideas are being, you know, sprouted from the fact that people are getting that autonomy. A lot more companies are now allowing people to work from home and you know, having that sort of entrepreneurism, but, you know, having the security of getting paid regularly. So I do commend them as well. I, you know, gained a ton of knowledge, a ton of things that helped me when I actually went out on my entrepreneur journey as well. So Alan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just,
taking
notes, lapping it all up. But I really want to know, and I know the audience says too, what is Scribble Post?
Yes, let's get into it.
All right. Yeah, with pleasure. So Scribble Post, as you mentioned, we describe it as the world's first productivity network. So let me explain that concept a little bit. I mean, if you think about Facebook as a social network that allows you to kind of rapidly capture and share social information, you know, things like photos and where I am and what I'm doing, that sort of stuff, you can think about Scribble Post as a productivity network that allows you to rapidly capture and share productivity information. So all your work-related data like notes and tasks and project information and emails. And, you know, the problem that we're solving really is this one of being overwhelmed by having too much to do, and not enough time to get it done. One of the core problems that we found, we've spent a lot of time researching this space and trying to understand how people work, how they collaborate, and generally speaking, how they get things done. And we found that, you know, email is just a constant theme. When we ask people about, you know, what is it that you struggle with the most? What is it that you'd like to improve the most in terms of your working world and your work management? And email just comes up time and time again. And we kind of looked at that a little bit more closely and tried to figure out what the problem was. And what we found was, you know, I guess unsurprisingly, that email is just, it's actually a terrible tool for getting things done. You know, it's a great product for communication because it was built as a communication product, but, you know, it's a terrible tool for managing work and for getting things done. So again, if we look at that more closely, why that is, well, if you think about how you work with the people around you, it's possible that the people in your immediate team are using the same tools you are, whatever that might be. But the reality is for most people that the network of people you need to actually work with goes well beyond your immediate team. It also includes, you know, people like customers and suppliers and contractors and sometimes even family and friends. And all of those people, you know, they're not using the same tools you are. So you have no choice but to keep using email when you're communicating with them and collaborating with them. So what that does is it means you have this enormous dependence on email to the point that we spend like, you know, I mean, the statistics say we spend as much as 30% of our day, you know, on email at work. And that is, I mean, particularly if you agree that email is not a good tool for getting things done, I mean, that's a huge amount of time to be spending in a product that's really not helping you progress your core projects and your core tasks. But the other problem that it kind of has resulted in is that we are forced to use all of these other tools to try and keep track of everything. So we've got like note takers and task managers and project management tools and other communication tools. And the challenge is our information gets split up and stored in all of these different places. And it becomes incredibly time consuming and difficult to actually keep them up to date. And of course, in reality, we don't end up keeping these things up to date. So they become out of date and we just cycle through them. And I know for me, my journey with productivity, I ended up just searching for tools and tools over and over again and just abandoning one and moving to the next one until I came across Scribble Post. And the idea here is that, you know, it brings it all together in one place. It lets me keep track of all of my notes, all of my tasks, my projects, and including my emails all in one place. And that's a really key element too, because, you know, what that means is it allows me to work with other people that are not using Scribble Post. That's the big thing here, and that's a big differentiator. With most productivity tools, you know, you start using them, you become enthusiastic, and then you have to start convincing everyone around you to use it as well, or it won't be valuable to you. The idea with Scribble Post is that you can use it and it becomes useful for you while you're working on your own, but you can also use it with anyone else, regardless of whether they're using it or not. You can, you know, and it still allows you to keep track of things, even if other people are just using email. And right. So that's like one of the big, powerful differentiators.
And it sounds like, and I wanted to jump in at that point there, is sure. that other communication tools that are out there, and there's certainly a number of them that have come up over the last several years, is that you have to be also using that. But what you're saying, and I want to clarify so the audience heard it as well, is that you can use this without the other users, having to be logged into Scribble Post. Did I hear that correctly?
That is exactly correct. And,
that's amazing.
That's disruptive.
That's disruptive.
Absolutely. Well, that's the idea. You know, one of the big things we found is, particularly in businesses, when you start using a new product, and you kind of mandate that everyone must use this product, mm-hmm. it's guaranteed to fail. There is always going to be 20% of people. Sure, 20% of people will jump on it because they're enthusiasts and early adopters. There's, a bunch of people that will sort of use it if the other guy starts using it. But there's always going to be 20% of people that just won't use it because they're not into change and they don't like to use new things, right? So that's going to cause the product to fail because these products are built based on the fact that everyone uses them. And if someone's not putting their information in, it undermines the integrity of that entire system. So, one of the things we wanted to achieve with Scribble Post is really, breaking that paradigm completely and allowing people to just start using it as individuals. You know, you'll start seeing that I'm kind of organized and productive in the way I work. Maybe you'll start using it. And it kind of spreads organically, but it doesn't require everyone to use it for it to be successful.
I love that. And one other question, Ellen, and I know you have something you want to jump in on. Now, I know one of the challenges with today is, text, for example, with getting text in and then you look at it and, there's no way to kind of follow up on it. So it's easy to fall through the cracks. But however, most of the time with a text is you are getting right through to the person, they've seen it. And tell me, is that wrapped in this whole scenario? Are you able to communicate, because everybody carries their phone, of course.
Yeah. So look, it's definitely part of the vision. So right now, the biggest integration we've worked on is email, but we're going to be building that out quite rapidly. And the vision is that, Scribble Post becomes that one place where you're able to keep track of anything that you need to get done. That's the idea. And that will include integrating with, chat systems and text and anything else where you're communicating stuff with people that normally you would just forget about. The idea is you can tag stuff up, and we use social symbols like hashtags and at mentions to keep track of things. So you can type in like, hey, Chris, can you send me that proposal #today? And then it will automatically know that that's a task and keep track of it for you.
Very cool.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So idea is, I guess, that it's very organic in nature. Like we the solution to this big problem, and don't get me wrong, it's not an easy problem to solve. And we don't profess to have like the answer. Like we are working with our users and our community to iterate this all the time and perfect it. But we're very committed to getting to the place where it really makes a dramatic shift to the way people work. But I was going to say, it has to be a solution that's organic for people, that they can keep track of things that they need to get done just in their normal flow, in their normal communication with other people. You don't want to have to kind of send an email and then later go and transcribe your tasks, or like copy and paste from one tool to the other. Like we've got to start cutting down on that. We've got to start avoiding doing that and just keep track of things as we're actually communicating and working with people in a natural way.
For sure.
I love that. I'm going to jump in here, Chris. I'm just as Paul's talking about the process and format, I can't help but think about how Chris and I work. Now, Chris and I have only seen each other, I think, 3 times in the last 2 years physically, because he lives in Florida and I live in Oregon. So we are constantly on the tech communication to make everything happen. And of course, he's got a number of things that he's doing personally with his individual company, as I do with mine. And then the work that we're doing together, for our other couple of companies. And I'm just thinking, we text a lot and we email a lot, but we have different platforms that each of us use to document and to keep, and our sharing capabilities in that respect are limited, with the common bond here being what you just talked about, text and email. That seems to be the, if we want to make sure that each has exactly the same information, we're kind of bound to those two technology platforms to be able to communicate ideas, tasks, time frames, and so on and so forth. Using us as an example, in a selfish way here, how can we dive into ScribblePost and start using it immediately to make our communication more effective?
Right. Well, actually the big thing that I haven't mentioned so far is the design of the product and how it differentiates in that way as well. So there's kind of this conceptual idea of the productivity network that I've spoken about, but there's also a very real design approach that we've used, because what we found with existing tools is that they are very kind of forms based. Essentially what you're doing when you use existing project management and productivity tools, and to some degree communication tools, you're kind of filling in a form. You want to start a new project, you're going to start editing all the fields, project name, collaborators, task one, task two, et cetera, et cetera. What we've done in ScribblePost is we've actually modeled it on the way people naturally scribble notes on a piece of paper, because we found that that's like a really simple and natural experience for people. So it's hard to kind of really demonstrate that without visually showing you the product, which I could certainly happily do at some point. But, what you would do is you would use ScribblePost and just start sending messages to each other in the same way you might do that now, except that in your messages, you can add in tasks for yourself and track things at a granular level. As I was saying, you can just add in, you kind of decorate your message with tags, and you can add due dates, you can allocate things. So you might say, hey, Alan, are you prepared for this call for our interview tomorrow? Can you send me the latest questions? #important. At Alan or whatever. And that will then be populated in your dashboard and tracked as something that you need to get done later on. So it all happens organically in the communication that you're writing anyway. All you do is you add a couple of hashtags here and there, and then ScribblePost kind of takes care of the rest. It will present it back to you in a very organized way that shows you like what you need to get done, when you need to get done, what project it relates to, and all of that sort of thing. Does that make sense?
It does. And I want to hang on. Sorry, Chris. I want to hang on real quick.
Yeah,
you talked about tracked. That's a big thing. If you see my desk, I got a desk full of Post-it notes. And I don't like Post-it notes necessarily. So tell me about the tracked feature. Just if you can briefly, and I know we don't have the visuals here to go through that, but just give me an idea of what tracked means.
Yeah, like in terms of how we track the things that you need to get done. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's great to write. Like I'm a huge advocate for writing things down, whether you're writing down notes, whether you're writing down list of things you need to get done for the day. That's awesome. And I also once upon a time had my notebook, and I used Post-it notes and all of that stuff. But the reality is, that stuff gets lost very easily. And, if you're using a notebook. Yeah. And then, even if you're using a notebook, you end up with this book full of pages and really no way to reference that information. That is not a searchable kind of system. You know what I mean?
No.
It's not really scalable, actually. It just kind of makes us feel good at the time that we're writing it down, but it doesn't have any kind of long-term value, and it certainly doesn't help us get things done, because we have to also then remember the things like in our head that we need to get done. And I mean, I put zero faith in my memory for anything. So, the idea is that when you're typing stuff out and you enter these notes, which you can do, it's very freeform. It's like it's like writing notes in a notebook, except you're typing stuff into Scribble Post. And then as you add these hashtags, it sucks out individual sentences that it then recognizes as tasks that you need to get done later on. And then it presents it back to you in a kind of visual dashboard saying, you know, here are all of the things that you need to get done. And it keeps track of them for you. And it will even alert you and let you know, hey, Christopher, you know, you've got seven things due today that you need to get done, or whatever it is. Or you've got, you know, one thing overdue from yesterday. And it communicates to you, and it kind of drives your behavior to make sure that you're getting this stuff progressed.
I love it. Now, do you have an app for this as well, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, right now the system is kind of in private beta, sure. But people can access it. You know, we can go through those details later. But yeah, we do. We have an iPhone app that's now available in the App Store. You know, just search for Scribble Post. We have an Android app that's available on the Google Play Store. We actually have a desktop and Windows apps that are available as well. So yeah, people can use it on pretty much any device that they've got. I mean, you know, this is people's operational data. We know that they need access to it wherever they are, and they need to be able to, you know, kind of take out their device and just start capturing thoughts and notes at any point in time. And that's kind of what Scribble Post is for. It kind of becomes like a buddy or a virtual assistant as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, again, you mentioned something just as you were, you know, explaining things about Scribble Post, is that you guys are solving a big problem. And yes. We all know that, you know, again, those are the businesses, in my opinion, going forward, are going to definitely capture the attention. So you're on the right track, and you know, helping people be productive is absolutely you know, something that I know from an efficiency standpoint, a lot of people, you know, end up being burnt out. And, you know, that burnout is really, you know, from, let's call it productivity. You know, maybe efficiencies lay in there as well. But, you know, tell me, why productivity, and, you know, how should we think about productivity? Because I think it's, you know, definitely people understand, but from your perspective and the research you guys have done and the platform you're putting together and the, you know, big problem you're solving, tell us in your words what that, you know, what is productivity and why productivity?
Yeah, well, look, I guess firstly, like both Alon and myself, we're very passionate about kind of making a real difference to the way people work and to their lives, really, because our mission is really to help people achieve more in their working life, but in life in general. And, you know, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, like, I'm all about growth, and I'm you know, it's not just about, you know, business growth. It's my personal growth and the growth of those around me. And, you know, I think growth really comes from being able to get stuff done, actually, right? Mm-hmm. And doing becoming an expert in something or doing new things, but kind of accomplishing something. I mean, we talk about productivity, and if you look at that at a low level, yeah, it's about kind of getting tasks done and that sort of thing. But, you know, why do people want to get stuff done? Well, really, it's because they you know, they actually want to get a promotion at work, or because they want to have more time to spend with their kids, or they just want to generally feel kind of more successful. Like, there are these big kind of goals and achievements people want to have in their life. And we kind of see, like, Scribble Post is this underlying platform for helping people achieve these big things in their life. But yeah, like, you know, in terms of the productivity challenge, you know, I really, as you said, it is a big challenge, and we don't underestimate, you know, how big it is, but it certainly affects, like, millions of people around the world that kind of struggle with these problems. But the reality is, like, no one's really solved it yet. That's the amazing thing. With all of the technologies out there, with all of these products available out there, people are still searching for these tools. I mean, we've done survey after survey where people are telling us, like, yeah, they've used all of these really great products, but they're still searching for that one thing that really truly helps them, you know, get things done in a more effective and more efficient way. So, you know, for me, it's kind of made up of two things. Like, if I think about breaking down this challenge of how we can help people in this way solve this challenge, and it comes down to two things. You know, one is technology, right? And the other is methodology. So obviously, technology we're addressing by helping, you know, building this product and as I said, iterating and improving it and making it, like, the greatest, like, productivity solution available today. But the other element to that is really about knowledge and methodology. I mean, people don't aren't necessarily born with everything they need inherently just to be a super productive person. So we're also trying to point people in the right direction and help them learn to be an optimizer, learn to iterate their methodology. I mean, most people have some kind of approach to working, but they don't necessarily have a name for their approach. Like, there are many productivity methodologies, you know, getting things done and the Pomodoro method. And I mean, there's, you know, Agile, there's lots of them. A lot of people don't necessarily think about themselves as having a methodology. I would argue, actually, you do have a methodology. For a lot of people, it's just a very loosely defined and unstructured methodology. But in any case, you do have an approach. The idea is to kind of self-recognize what that is and iterate and optimize that. So, you know, that's kind of the way we look at it.
Love it.
So it's almost an active learning application as well.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Like, ScribblePost is built to be, a very flexible tool that will support you no matter what approach you want to take. And I mean, for me as well, like I've kind of cobbled together a bunch of different techniques that I've read about and learned about and tested, and it supports me in that journey of optimization and iteration. So yeah, I mean, it absolutely will help people discover what works best for them.
Fantastic. Cool. I'm like, you know, and I use the the term often. I'm super excited. Alan, how about you?
I'm totally excited. I'm looking a couple years down the road. I got a question for you. I have a futuristic question for you, Paul. And right. You talk about a platform now that is able to incorporate, kind of sane in the abilities of other platforms. What do you see down the road tech-wise with a company like yours that's able to adapt an environment for other technologies? What's the possibility of you absorbing some of those other technologies and communication platforms? Is that something that you guys are looking at down the road?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, there's just so many products out there right now that, people are already using. You know, it's very much an integration game. I think that, like, and that's definitely a part of our strategy moving forwards. We want to be able to make it as easy as possible for people to get whatever information they need to into one place so that they can track it and manage it and just make it as easy as possible for them. I mean, I think there's a lot of kind of big trends out there right now in terms of the way things are moving. And, you know, right now there's a lot of what I would describe as kind of very, very vertical tools. They're like point solutions that do very specific things. They help people take notes, or they help them organize their calendar, or they help them, you know, manage their tasks or whatever it is, right? But I think that we're moving towards a place where things are much more horizontal. So they're applicable across all kind of use cases and all kind of industries, and things are going to be kind of meshed together, as you've said, like everything's going to become more connected, more integrated. I also think that in terms of like where things are going, just to the question about like the future of this, I think these technologies are also right now very structured, but they're going to be moving towards a much more, search-oriented paradigm. Like, you know, people don't think in structured ways. So forcing them to use a product or system that, like, you know, where they must enter things in a certain way is not a very natural experience. So I think that in the future, we're going to see a much more kind of natural technologies, much more technologies that are kind of search oriented. And that's kind of where this idea, like, you know, bots are talked about a lot in the technology world right now. Like, that's kind of the next big thing. And that's just because it's supposed to be a much more natural experience interacting with a, like, in a conversational way, rather than necessarily like filling in all of these forms and fields and clicking buttons and stuff like that. So I think it's all going to become, you know, much more horizontal, much more integrated, much more natural to use. And that's kind of where I see it going.
For sure. And I'm just going to jump in here because it's something that I wrote in my book, and I quote it Steve Jobs on, and I'm just going to read this quote because I think it's important and obviously relevant. And it goes something like this. That's been one of my mantras: focus and simplicity. Simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean, to make it simple, but it's worth it in the end, because once you get there, you can move mountains. You know, and I wanted to, you know, outline that just really quickly, because you know, the world's noisy. You just mentioned it. There's a lot of new tools. There's a lot of apps. There's a lot of, you know, this, that, social media, email, you know, and we're going at light speed. And, you know, I don't think anybody wanted to create problems with that whole world of connectivity, or what you now call hyperconnectivity. But I think the key is now we're all searching, you know, again, for that simplicity. And Paul, I think you nailed it. You know, I definitely know that you guys are on that track to solve that big problem that we inherently created by having that hyperconnectivity and, you know, the simple way of managing your day, managing, you know, the things to do, and the way that you can use, you know, technology. And this really, this is what it is. It's technology combined with other pieces of technology. Thank you, Steve Jobs, for, you know, dreaming up, you know, the iPhone. And obviously, there's some other great tools out there, you know, Samsung and so forth, you know, that are offering up great things that you can hand, you know, hold in your hand. But I wanted to, you know, just throw that out there from a simplistic standpoint. It's not always easy, because it's simple, but it seems like you guys have put things together in a way that you know, really truly defies that, what I just mentioned, and made simple simple.
Yeah, well, look, you know what? I would build on what you've said there and the quote that you've used. And like, we think about this as there being like, I think there's an attention management crisis right now. You know, we are inundated.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Attention management crisis.
There is an attention management crisis. I'm serious, you know, because we're inundated. We're overwhelmed with information. Like, you can't, I would challenge people to spend 90 minutes in a row during a workday without being interrupted. Good luck to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is just stuff coming at us from all directions all the time. Social media, phone calls, SMS, email. Like, we can barely find 5 minutes to concentrate on one thing at a time. And I think that, you know, the only way to succeed is really to be focused. And that starts with having a clear picture of what you're trying to achieve, of course. But you also need to be able to focus at the, like, the micro level on the things that you really, really need to get done that are kind of like in front of your face, right? The things that you know you need to get done. And I think, you know, like, as you said, like, we've worked really hard to take something that's complex and make it as simple as possible, so that the, you know, people don't need to spend too much time thinking about it. They can just get started and use it. We don't want you to have to be an expert or to read a book to you know, to be a productive person. It should be easier than that, shouldn't it? You know, it shouldn't absolutely. Be that hard.
It should be easy. And, you know, often I think we get confused with, you know, everything out there, meaning that we should be doing everything. I always say, you know, it's important and relevant, you know, focus in that area on the things that you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, it's a great challenge you threw out there. And I want to reiterate it, because I think it's a great challenge, is, you know, for the audience and including us today. You know, let's try to find that 90 minutes of, you know, pure not being interrupted, I should say. Hard time getting that out today. You know, being interrupted for 90 minutes is sounds like a, you know, easy thing to do, but that's going to be a big challenge, I think, for a lot of people. And I love what you said about the attention management crisis. I agree with you 100%. There's a lot of things that people focus on that are not relevant and not important. It's a really great point.
Hey, Chris, let me jump in here. I want to hang on to that. I'm sorry, Paul. I want to hang on to that really quick here. The attention management crisis part. And I think it really caters to the entrepreneur, which is a good portion of our audience, because they're charged with aggregating all those tasks and all of the people, the other people and services that are required fuel for them to operate their own business internally, but also to help organize and relate to all of their clients and all their clients' needs. So I think the Scribble Post is a fantastic platform for the entrepreneur, because they don't have to worry about what system to use to be able to organize their own internal material, but also then to aggregate their individual clients' needs and efforts, and then keeps them accountable to that without having to have a whole cache of staff.
Absolutely, and you know, that's a key mark for us, and we've seen some excellent traction with entrepreneurs and startups, and of course with, you know, productivity enthusiasts as well. But yeah, it's perfect for entrepreneurs for exactly that reason. You know, they're trying to coordinate a lot of different resources inside their business, outside their business, and you know, they don't have time to start using 20 different tools just so they can be productive with, you know, 20 different business relationships. You just want one place, manage it all. It should be as natural as possible, so that you just don't have to concentrate too much on that part of it. You know, they've got bigger things to worry about. So you're absolutely right about that. I completely agree.
Yeah, on that note, hey, and I'm just going to throw this out there, Chris, and my guess is Chris will probably like it too. We kind of know we're kind of in the same boat here as far as you know, thoughts and ideas on a lot of things. Would you come back on the show and do maybe a webinar, like walkthrough how to for the entrepreneur, how to use your services to be able to take care of the things we're talking about?
Of course, absolutely. I would be glad to do that. And you know, we've discovered through our research and our experience in this, you know, in this journey, you know, what some of the best practice approaches are for people in specific jobs. And you know, we're entrepreneurs, so we can certainly apply what we've learned ourselves to that category. So yeah, I would love to. That would be a fantastic thing to do.
I hope I didn't step on your toes, Chris, but I thought that would be a cool thing for us all to be able to, well, for us to benefit from, but also for the audience.
Are you kidding me? I was actually thinking that, and, you know, I'm already, as you were speaking and you know, trying to multitask a little bit, putting it out there to start with a lot of our guests that came on the show. How about that? And then we'll, you know, release the hounds and go out to, the rest of them. And I'd love to do, I think that's a perfect idea, and do a webinar style, show people this tool. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. And, but let's get Paul introduced to the rest of our awesome entrepreneurs in our group.
Yeah.
And a shout out for all of our past guests, you know, our alumni, we like to call them the B-Bold Nation. And let's get that started with them. I think it'd be a fantastic way for us to even communicate inside that platform, even though Paul mentioned we don't need to all be on it, but who doesn't want to be more productive? I mean, you know, I think it's a great idea. Thanks for pulling that out, Alan, and suggesting it. And thanks, Paul, for agreeing.
No, look, I relish that opportunity. And as I say, you know, we are also still learning. You know, we're learning all the time. We are you know, committed to solving this problem. And it's a learning experience for us just as much as for everyone else. So, you know, every touch point I have with any of our users or any, you know, any potential users and people that suffer from these problems is an awesome opportunity. It's really something that I enjoy, and it's something that's very valuable to us as well.
I'm excited about what the future holds, because I think you're on the launching pad for a new way of thinking about how to operate and navigate business. You can spend a much larger portion of your time servicing the needs of your clients and introducing this format as a solution for them as well, but spending more of your creativity time and your brain time and your genius zone working on the you know, solutions for the clients.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, Paul, I've got a question for you. A quick one, since we're on the topic of being, you know, productive. Give us some tips. I want to hear, you know, from the horse's mouth on productivity, a few tips to be more or better at productivity.
Yeah, sure. So, look, for me, I guess I'll just approach this like from the perspective of someone that's kind of new to the idea of productivity, as opposed to someone that may consider themselves already an expert, because there's probably more people that are kind of new to this idea of how they can work productively. So the first thing I think is really you need to develop an awareness of yourself, how you work, and what works for you, which is maybe easier said than done. But, you know, I've spent some time just thinking about, like, you know, our energy levels, for example, they go up and down during the day. There are optimum times to work on certain things. So just start to pay attention to, you know, when you're most active, when your brain is operating at its kind of peak performance, you know, and when you have those slumps during the day. So you start to get to know your natural cycle. Also, your schedule. There are some things in our day that we, you know, that we can't really control. If you've got kids like I do, you're up a certain time. You know, maybe you've got to be at work at a certain time, but you've got to, you may be catching the bus to work, or even if you're driving to work, you know, how can you fit things in your day in the right way? So the first thing is really just start to get to know your natural, you know, rhythms and schedule. That's the first thing I would say. And another tip is, you know, if we start to look at how we can actually, you know, build a system around that. So you want to get to know your natural kind of rhythms and schedule so that you can start to build a system. You know, it's all about starting with somewhere, a system, and then optimizing it. You know, I've kind of mentioned that term a couple of times, but I really think you're never going to nail it and get it perfect straight away. And there shouldn't be, you never want to put pressure on yourself to have like a perfect system in place or methodology. I don't even know if that exists, but you want to just kind of always be optimizing. You know, one of the simple things you can do is just write stuff down. People spend way too much energy trying to remember, you know, too much stuff, and it gets really, really hard. And, you know, one of the big guys in productivity, David Allen, talks about this as well quite a lot. Like, our brain is limited to being able to remember only a few things at a time. So you just want to write things down. When I started to do that, it opened up my world completely. Not only did it de-stress me because I felt like I had stuff captured somewhere, but it also made me a lot more productive. I find that if you're trying to solve a problem and you don't write stuff down, you end up in a cycle, like a repetitive cycle of trying to cut. You keep coming up with the same solution in your head, but as soon as you write something down, it forces you to progress to the next level, to the next phase, to the next idea. So I definitely recommend for people that they should write things down. And then, you know, what kind of person are you? Are you a list maker? Are you a storyteller? I'm a list maker. So I write lists a lot, like a task list and things I need to get done. I recommend for people spend 5 minutes at the beginning of the day and write down your task list. You know, if you've got nowhere else, sure, use a pen and paper, but, like, you know, write it somewhere where you can keep track of things, somewhere like Scribble Post or even another product, but just write it down somewhere that you've got a list of things you want to accomplish for the day. And the other thing I would, people, by the way, always, they're overly ambitious when they create these daily lists. So I would challenge people to be kind of realistic if they can. Just even if you write down two or three things you want to get done in the day, that's a great starting point. Another little tip is, write down the things that you got done that weren't necessarily on your list. You know, things pop up every day, all day, that you weren't necessarily expecting to work on. Write them down anyway, because it's going to give you a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day. And what you want to do is build momentum. You want to start feeling positive about the things that you're working on and the things that you're doing, so that, you know, you come in next day and you look at this long list of things you got done and you feel good about yourself, you know, and you feel like your system is starting to work. So that's the other thing. And then, you know, the last kind of big thing I would talk about that you touched on, Chris, as well, is just focus. Like, do everything you can to focus on those things you know are going to take you towards your goals. Like, you know, we've got in our business, we've got monthly goals, we've got weekly goals, and we've got like daily goals, essentially, you know, daily task lists. So you always want to make sure that the things you're working on every day are aligned with your longer term goals. And you got to do everything you can to focus on those, progressing those things. And sometimes that means, you know, a couple of little tips here are, you know, limit the amount of time you spend reading inbound messages like emails and things like that. You know, maybe do it twice a day instead of having it open all day. Another one is that one that I like a lot is I use a timer sometimes. I time box some of the stuff I work on. So I'll set a time for like 30 minutes, just a countdown timer for 30 minutes, and force myself to get that task done, you know, within that time period, regardless. Like, otherwise I'm going to spend 2 hours like making it perfect. But really what I need to get done is just finish that task and move on to the next thing. So that they're just a few kind of easy ways to get started building your own kind of productivity system or methodology. And really anyone can do this stuff.
I love that. You know, the one that really stood out, and all great tips, by the way, and certainly for our audience listening in, the beauty about having this show is that you can go back, rewind, and listen to some of these things that Paul just ripped off, you know, fairly quickly. But, you know, the 30-minute timer, I love that idea. I mean, you could set it, obviously, for any timer, yep. Well, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And that just really stood out because you put the timer on, and we all have one on our, you know, phone or device, and yep. easily just let it ring and move on. So it puts you in a way that you can just stay focused. Nothing bothers you, and get it done, and get it done quickly. You'd probably surprise yourself. So thanks for that tip. That was a huge yep. one for me. Right. Definitely going to use that, that trick of the trade for sure.
Yeah. I got to totally agree. You know, once I go back to, you know, our audience, the entrepreneurs, we're all creatives, right? And creatives have a tendency to wander. We have a tendency to put, you know, to really paint a really big picture and to get all the details and constantly, you know, we're all creative and we don't necessarily look at the task. And I think for creatives, that's a really good habit to get into as a timer. I love that. Thanks for mentioning that.
That big time. Sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say no problem for the tip. And the other thing is, you know, you can assess like what that task is that you want to get done. And that's going to help you decide how long to set that timer for. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 30, sometimes it's that 90 minute period that I talked about. You know, there's a lot of research that says that really the maximum amount of time we can really genuinely focus for is 90 minutes. That's kind mm-hmm. of where I pulled that from earlier, where I said, like, try and block out 90 minutes to get something done and not be interrupted. Good luck with that challenge.
But, yeah, good point. And I love that challenge. And I certainly wrote that down, and I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to tweet it, Paul. So stay aware, open and tuned in on that, because I'm going to put that out there today. And certainly that timer, I love that so much.
I think what you're going to prove, Chris, is that there really is an attention management crisis. Everyone's going to be like, no, it's impossible.
Yeah, I'm going through one myself. listen, there's something that I know was brought up at the beginning, and I want to roll back just a little bit here to the beginning of the show that caught my attention. And I want to just spend a moment on it, just so you can give some insight, because Alan brought it up in your bio, and we really didn't touch on it, even though it was one of the fascinating things. And then Alan said he was going to touch on it. I wrote it down. I'm just looking back in my notes here. You raised a bunch of money. I think it was for Greenfield. Is that true? Or, you know, it doesn't matter which one you did the raise for. But you also were able to get Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And I think that's a fantastic thing just to roll back and talk about, because that is not an easy task. And I'd love to hear what that was all about just quickly in a few minutes. And then obviously we're getting close. This show goes so quickly, folks. So I hope you're journaling and you're writing all these awesome things down that Paul talked about. But of course, go to scribblepost.com, check it out. And I'm sure there's going to be amazing things coming as they continue to do research to help you be more productive. But Paul, tell us a little bit about Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and what you did there.
Yeah, cool. Because actually, when I was talking about the things that I've done, I kind of stopped at that point in my life when I started the business Greenfield Avenue, and I didn't really talk much about after that. But yeah, after that, I got this bug to join a tech startup, and that one was called SmartSparrow. That's where we actually raised the money. And I want to make it really, really clear that was a team effort led by the CEO at the time, but I was very much a part of that process. And that was a very exciting business, and it's still going and doing some very exciting things in the education space, actually. And you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are focused on several areas, one of which is, improving higher education, particularly in the United States. The company SmartSparrow was working on a very exciting learning platform, an adaptive learning platform that allows, you know, kind of personalizes learning experiences for students. And it was of interest to them. But yeah, I mean, the process of winning that grant was, I mean, it was a relatively formal process, actually. It's not, this is not the kind of thing that you can win by kind of wheeling and dealing so much. I mean, you're kind of writing a lot, but that company just had an awesome vision. And like Scribble Post now, it's a big vision. And what, you know, my takeaway from that whole process was about storytelling, actually. You know, the CEO there, but I've seen it time and time again. If you can wrap your vision and your ambition and even, you know, your business approach into a story, an exciting and believable story, that is what gets people excited. I mean, storytelling is like that one art form that has the most amazing impact in a business scenario. And, you know, for the salespeople listening out there as well, I mean, this is a killer technique, right? Learn to tell stories well. It's something that, you know, didn't necessarily come natural to me, but I've tried to improve on it, and I certainly can do it better now with my writing. But, you know, if you can tell a great story and articulate your vision in a kind of storytelling manner and make it personal and believable and genuine, that is what gets people excited. And that's what I would put that win down to, like, awesome vision, awesome storytelling. And the rest is, of course, just, you know, hard work and a lot of detail filling out, like, exactly what we were going to do with that, you know, with that money.
That's fantastic. Thanks for explaining that. And I'm going to throw out something that I caught and I'm now catching more and more. You say process like Canadians. So we're a lot alike, Paul. Alan, everybody here.
I was going to say the same thing. Process. I'm going to start changing my vernacular. It's all there is.
There
to
you
it.
Go.
You mean the way I pronounced it? Because my wife's Canadian.
So yeah, the way you pronounce it, process, which is correct, by the way.
Cool.
it's the Americans that call it, you know, process. I catch myself a lot, you know, because I obviously live here. And they catch me all the time with, you know, things I say, and, you know, they automatically call it out that I'm Canadian. So I'm trying to be undercover a little bit here, but it's really hard when I throw out the word process, and I heard it today. So just a little funny out there. I just wanted to throw out the fact that, you know, Aussies and Canadians are so much alike. And
Christopher, you're making me feel right at home here. You're making me feel right at home.
Well, you are at home. You are part of the family now on Think Bold, Be Bold, and we're really happy to have you. In fact, I am, you know, super excited, see, I said it again, about the fact that you created something that's going to, you know, give me productivity, just being, you know, completely selfish at this point. And being as multitasking as I am, you know, see, I am going through a crisis, and I signed up already for Scribble Post because I did it when Alan, of course, was talking to you, but I wanted to get in there and get started. It's already on my phone as an app. So
yeah, it is on mine too. Ha ha ha.
See, hey, listen, folks, you can do a few things at one time, but we're paying attention all the important things that Paul had to say, but check it out. Scribblepost.com. Paul's obviously, you know, you're available. Are you on social media? How do people connect with you, Paul? Are you the guy running, you know, the Twitter show back there in Scribble Post land?
Yeah, I mean, as I said with the other stuff, you know, Scribble Post is very much a team effort, and you know, just a shout out to our CEO and founder Alon as well. A lot of this is his vision too, so I don't want to make it sound like it's just me. But yeah, you can get in. I mean, we are extremely excited to be connecting with people, particularly that are passionate about productivity, like it sounds like you guys are. And yeah, you can reach out to me personally on Twitter at you know, my it's at Paul_Berko, Berko, or feel free just to send me an email directly at paul@scribblepost.com. Very happy to connect with people. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter, everything. So yeah, awesome. Look forward to hearing from people.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's interact with Paul. And great point. You do have a great team, and you guys came up with some really great stuff that's going to help with productivity. And, you know, that's the whole point. You know, for all the entrepreneurs out there listening, you know, one of the things that, you know, we want is to build a network and be as productive as we can with that network to deliver our products and services. So this is really going to help you, because if you do this, I would venture to say that you're probably going to make more money. And, well, and isn't that a great thing, you know, in your business? Just again, speaking to the audience there. So check it out. obviously, Paul, throughout all the ways you can connect with him and Alon. They're both on LinkedIn. We're friends as well. We could send messages and all that great stuff on LinkedIn. So check it out. Scribblepost.com. Get the app. Start being productive. And, hey, it's that time of the show where we want to get a little personal. Paul, are you into that?
Bring it on.
All right, let's bring it on. We've got a series of questions that we like to go through called Rapid Bold Insight. What it does for, a lot of people is, and including us, is we get to know you a little bit better on a personal level. And quite frankly, because you've thought up this amazing stuff, with your partners and, all the people involved, you're an engineer, you've got a great mind, but we want to know a little bit of personal stuff. So let's get started on that. What book do you recommend? Something you've read or you're maybe reading now, Paul?
Does it just have to be one only, or can I throw out a few?
I said rapid. Yes, right, of course. Take your time.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I just finished reading this book called Sapiens, which is about the history of humankind, written by a guy called Yuval Harari. And I got to tell you, it is really fascinating and interesting. If you're interested in like human behavior and where we come from, it's like eye-opening. Even as an entrepreneur and as a marketer, it's actually pretty interesting. So that's an awesome read. I'm right now, in the business context, I'm reading a book called Contagious by Ryan Holiday, which is all about, how things go viral and what makes them shareable and interesting to others. So I actually highly recommend both of those. If you are thinking about, some classics that I really recommend are like The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. I mean, that's timeless, as well as The E-Myth by Michael Gerber as well. I mean, that was the thing that really got me started on how to kind of create and build a business.
Beautiful. Thanks for those. And I will check out two of them. I read, the others. What do you do for fun?
Well, I've got kids, so I love kind of spending time with them. A couple of my sons are actually into chess, so I kind of enjoy playing chess with them. Not that any of us are particularly great at it, but it's fun anyway. Absolutely. And I've got my daughter who likes to play music, so we kind of belt out a few tunes on guitar and piano, and that's the way I spend my weekends.
Oh, beautiful! Sounds like my house. What one piece of technology has helped you the most, and I hope you say Scribble Post, but anyway, helped you the most in your business?
Yeah, do you know what? That is for me personally, it would be Scribble Post. It really has changed the way I work. But, more broadly speaking, I also would, mention Wikipedia as well. I use it every day, all day, just to research new ideas and concepts, and I think it's an invaluable resource. Not that that's a new thing that people won't have heard of before, but it is a really valuable tool.
Great. What quote has had the most impact on you, Paul?
That's a good one and a tough one. I'm not sure if I can easily answer that. There is a great quote by Einstein that touches on something you mentioned earlier, which is, I think, I'm not good at kind of word for word memorizing things, but I think it's something like make things as simple as possible, but no simpler, and that I think is a really, really great idea.
Right. And I love Einstein because he came up with very short, but profound, quotes. So thanks. Yes. I share that with you, with Einstein. What is your next bold move, Paul? What's going on?
Well, I couldn't be more focused on this this project of passion, that we're working on here. So it's all about, as with the previous parts of my career, it's all about growth. So we are about growing this as rapidly and as boldly, if you will, as boldly as possible. And we want to get a great result for not just for us as a business, but for all of the people using our service as well. So I'm very focused on that, and certainly at some point we hope to have a big success in that regard. So yeah, I mean that's I don't know if that's specific enough,
yeah,
but that's
great.
Kind of where my mind is at.
Yeah. That was Bold Insight with Paul Berkovic, and check out scribblepost.com. It's going to be a tool that'll change the way you do business, I am sure. I'm looking forward to it myself. Alan, it's that time It's that time.
I know. It's gone by fast, hasn't it? It seems like our shows are going by faster and faster, but we're getting great, great content. And Paul, I hate to say it, but we're at the last moments of the show. And Chris and I have come up with an idea in the beginning of the show that we, you know, ask you to do as well. And that is, what one bold move, an act, would you like to instill upon the audience today, something that they could do today to move the needle in their business?
Okay. That's a great question. I would say take a belief that you hold strongly and spend some time convincing someone of the opposite perspective, because, you know, I don't think there's anything more powerful than understanding other people's point of view. If you're trying to convince people or sell people on something, you need to practice the art of seeing things from other people's perspectives. So that would be the one bold thing that I think, you know, people can do to move the needle.
I love that.
Wow. I love it.
Alan, we've got a discussion to have later.
We do. We've had a few already. We're going to have another one.
I love it. Paul Berkovic, Scribble Post. Check them out. Him and his partner have created something very cool, and I know it's going to change the landscape in your business. Alan, let's say our final goodbyes. Paul, thank you so much. You have yourself a fantastic day, night, I should mention, in Australia. And thanks for staying up so late to do this show with us. We really appreciate you, and we appreciate you coming on to share with our audience your brilliance, your genius, and the things that are going on in your world.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Yeah, Paul, it's been an honor. Thank you for like Chris said, giving the time. And I know it's late, and get you to bed and then early to rise with your kids in the morning. But thank you so much, Chris. As usual, you're a fantastic host. I'm honored to be your partner in doing this. And to the audience, thank you so very much for listening and for tuning in and giving us the heads up as to what you'd like to hear about. So with that said, Chris, take us home.
Well, thank you, everyone, and right back at you, Alan. Thank you to the audience. You guys are amazing. Come to info@thinkboldbebold.com. Let us know what you think and what you want, and we'll find it. And it wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.